Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. When we pray, there is a distinction that we must always keep in mind in our prayers. And that is this: when we pray for earthly, temporal blessings, we are always to pray for them if it be God's will. And why is that? Because we are sinful human beings, and we do not always will what God wills for us. Sometimes the things that we want are not the things or the means by which God intends to bless us. So we are most certainly to pray for temporal blessings and benefits, but we are always to pray them understanding that we want them only if it be the will of God. But when we pray for spiritual blessings, that is, when we pray for greater faith, we pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit, we pray for inner spiritual strength so that we can withstand temptation and boldly confess Christ before an ungodly world. When we pray for spiritual blessings, we know that God always wants to give them. And we know that whenever we pray for these things, we are praying in accordance with the will of God, because He has fully revealed to us that He always wants to give us spiritual blessings, strength, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and power to live a godly life in a godless world. Right? Therefore, we do not have to pray, "Give me the Holy Spirit if it be thy will. Give me strength to live a Christian life if it be thy will. Give me the inner presence of Christ if it be thy will." That would be a stupid prayer, because God has clearly over and over said to us that He desires to give these things to us always. And so when we pray for spiritual blessings, we pray knowing that God desires us to have these things, and we pray with confidence knowing that we shall receive them. And we also pray with confidence about temporal things, because we know that God has commanded us to pray for earthly blessings, and He wants to give us earthly blessings, as we learned last week, talking about "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He wants to give us earthly blessings too. So we pray with confidence, but it is confidence that God's good and gracious will always be done. All right? Now, what does this have to do with anything? Well, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and the Holy Ghost is speaking to us as we read the words of Paul to the Ephesians. The Ephesians' lives were thrown into turmoil, because not only did they have persecution and trouble in their own city with various different groups of people conspiring against them to make their life as a Christian church perilous in that day, but also the Ephesians had just learned that their beloved apostle Paul had been arrested and taken into custody and was now imprisoned in the city of Caesarea. And they were beginning to lose heart. They were beginning to grow faint, because they were thinking, well, if a thing like that can happen to him, what can happen to us? We're doomed. And they began to grow timid, and they began to grow fearful. And so our epistle text begins today with Paul assuring them. He says this. He says, therefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now that, there's a twist, right? He says, I don't want you to lose heart because I'm suffering on your behalf. Rather, you should see this as a glory, as something to boast about. Well, how is that? Well, in the Beatitudes, you know that passage that people who never read the Bible say is their favorite passage? The Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus ends the Beatitudes by saying this: blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. So rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So Jesus, even before Paul says, my tribulations on your behalf are really a badge of honor for you. They're really something to boast about, because the persecution that I am enduring as an apostle of Christ is a sign of the truth of the Word of God. They crucified Jesus Christ, and they will persecute you. And the fact is, it shows who they are, and it shows who you are. And therefore, you should take it as an indication of glory and as a privilege to suffer for the name of Jesus. And so he says, I don't want you to faint because of my tribulations for you. I want you rather to boast about. And then he says, because of this, because of your fears and anxieties, and because I know that you mean well, but you need to be strengthened by the Lord in your faith, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. So Paul says, I'm going to pray for you, right? And I am praying for you. But notice how he frames his prayer. He is praying, I bend my knee or bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Remember last week I told you about the fatherhood of God and how it is directly connected with the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God who came into the world to redeem sinners so that they would be received into the grace and family of God. And so therefore, Paul says this very thing in this passage where he says, I pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, the Christian church, whether the church on earth or the church triumphant in heaven, the whole Christian church is named after Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are the children of God through faith in Christ. So he says, I pray for you that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now let's just stop there for a second. Notice that he would grant you out of the riches of his glory. In other words, God is rich beyond imagination. There is no problem whatsoever for God to answer our prayers and to help us and to pour out his blessings upon us, because he has the riches of his glory, infinite riches, and he can draw on them and richly dole them out to his beloved children. He says something very similar to this down in verse 20 of our text, where he says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So here, all that you can imagine asking or even thinking about asking God, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above that. Now, you should already be encouraged as a Christian to pray to the Lord the way Paul here prays. Now, Paul is going to pray that the Ephesians would receive bounteous spiritual blessings from God so that their courage would be revived and that they would see things the way they really are and not the way their eyes weakened by tribulation see them. You know, we look at the world's opposition and we begin to get nervous and we begin to get doubtful and we think, what is this? Why am I going to church when everybody hates me for doing it, right? And no, we got to see it the way it really is. We are children of the Heavenly Father. And when someone is persecuted for righteousness' sake, it is a sign that they belong to the Lord God. And so when we suffer for the name of Christ, it shows who those are that make us suffer, and it shows who those are that suffer on behalf of the name of Jesus Christ. So Paul knows that whatever else the Ephesians need, and whatever else we need in our daily life, what we need more than anything is to be bounteously supplied with spiritual benefits from the Lord. And these are the things that God wants us to pray for, and these are the things that he is continuously giving to us. You say, where is he continually giving these things to us? He is giving them to you right now as you hear God's word. All throughout our liturgy, which if you haven't noticed, is really just a long string of Bible passages from beginning to end, you are hearing the word of God in every hymn and in every liturgical response, in the reading of the lessons, in the prayers that are said, and in the scriptures and the word and the preaching of the word of God, and even in the sacraments. It is the word of the gospel that makes the sacraments what they are. The word is added to the element and it becomes a sacrament. All right? So the word of God is the means by which the Lord is always showering upon us his spiritual blessings. But sometimes we don't have the eyes to see that, you know, because, you know, it's not exciting. It's kind of regular. We come here every week, and every week we do the same thing, and it can get kind of, you know, blasé, you know. But really, when you think about this, Jesus Christ is truly present right here, right now. And he is active in all of the word of God that happens from beginning to end. And he is especially present in the sacrament of the altar, which we will share together in a few minutes today. And he is giving us the things for which he commands us to pray. All right, so Let's go. He says that he would grant you to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. In other words, I pray that God would give you spiritual power within you by his Holy Spirit. All right? The Spirit dwells in you, and I'm praying that the Spirit would give you his power to strengthen you in your life as a Christian. All right? So that's easy to understand. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. All right? We are to pray for the Holy Spirit. We are to pray for the indwelling of not only the Spirit, but also Christ and the Father. I and my Father will come and make our abode with the one who loves me, Jesus said. And so it is here that we are praying for the presence, the gracious presence of the Spirit, the gracious presence of Christ, all right? That he may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, you see, when you have been born anew by the Holy Spirit in holy baptism, you are grounded and you are rooted in God's love for you. It's like it is the stuff that flows through your veins. God's love and his grace toward you. You are, because you are in Christ and you are born of the Spirit, you are rooted and grounded in love, and therefore you are able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. In other words, you as a Christian, whatever your condition is now, whatever the level of your understanding of Scripture and divine truth is now, you are on a journey and you are growing more and more. You are increasing in the knowledge of God, increasing in faith, increasing in your comprehension of these things all throughout your life as you use God's word and as you partake of the holy sacraments. He is granting you more and more comprehension of all the dimensions of what God has done for you and is doing in you and through you in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he says that you may know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Right? That you may understand what is beyond understanding. We can't even begin to understand how the love of Christ could cause him to come down and to endure the agony of the cross and death for the sake of unworthy sinners like we are. But by the grace of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost, we are ever growing in the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ, and that even though it passes knowledge, it surpasses human knowledge, we are growing in it, and we are understanding it more and more. We're not done yet, but we are pressing on, heading toward the goal, growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, until we finally stand before the throne of glory and he welcomes us into the kingdom forever and ever. He says that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, that you may have and enjoy all of the bounty that God has won for you through the redeeming work of his Son. You see, you don't have to earn these things, and you are not promised an answer to these things conditioned upon whether or not you live up to your part of the deal. These are unconditional promises of God's help. So when you are weak, you should consider it a blessed opportunity, because when you are weak, it moves you to pray. And when you pray for strength, you are praying for what God always wants to give you and what he always gives you as you use the instruments by which he gives them to you, the word and the sacraments. We in the Lutheran Church, according to Holy Scripture, we call the word and the sacraments the means of grace, because they are the instrument or the vehicle by which God delivers to us the grace that he promises to us in the gospel. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.